We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Tyrod Taylor already letting down David Coley. I think so. We'll hear what Smitty has to say. This was David Coley after the magical OTAs took place with the Houston Texans. I thought it was actually a really good speech by David Coley. I just don't think Tyrod Taylor quite rose to the occasion after the speech.
You looked around and you've seen most of our coaches, and you see us with this on right here. Man, don't forget that. Just remember, that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. And you know what? These last 4 weeks, that's what we wanted to find out. And that's what we are. And when we come back here, that's what we're going to be. The two things that we've been about this whole time has been trust each other and trust the process, trust what we're doing. And the transition that you made from coming from where you were to come in here with us and finding out what we're all about and what we're gonna be about. You accomplished both of those. But listen here, understand what we're gonna do and what we're gonna continue to do. Tyrod, I need the best breakdown that we've had this off season. Okay. The best we've had. Get on in here. Yeah.
Listen to this break. That David Coley sitting out there talking about process, team, all that. And this is what Tyrod Taylor gives me. Come on.
Listen here. Understand. Well, off season. The best we've had. Get on in here.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. That sounded like a break of, you know, week six. You know, that was a bye-week break. It wasn't a break that you made.
That was an 0-10 break.
Nah, it wasn't that, because when you're 0-10, you're trying to figure out a way out of it. You're gonna go over and beyond to try to figure out a way to create some type of momentum. Normally, you get that break where it's like, hey, guys, be smart on the way out. You know, you're going to be traveling all over. Make sure you're being smart about what you do with your body. Make good decisions, all that type of stuff. It was just like, hey, you know, break, you know, 1, 2, 3 together. I was a little surprised at that. I thought, and because I know that Tyrod has it in him to do it,
man. Tyrod,
I'm gonna blame the editing of it, because when you listen to Cully's speech with the music playing along with it, and then right after that you get together on 3, 1, 2, 3 together, it don't match up. But the Cully speech, I don't think sounds as good if you remove the music. I mean, it was good stuff. But the music just puts it on a whole nother. Play it again. Listen to this. This makes me, like, it gets you excited about the Houston Texans. Listen to it.
Off, that's what we're all about. And you know what? These last 4 weeks, that's what we wanted to find out. And that's what we are. And when we come back here, that's what we're going to be. The two things that we've been about this whole time has been trust each other, and trust the process, trust what we're doing, and the transition that you made from coming from where you were to coming here with us and finding out what we're all about and what we're going to be about.
You might be right.
You accomplished both of those.
This might be the music.
But listen here. Understand what we're going to do and what we're going to continue to do. Tyrod, I need the best breakdown that we've had this off season. The best we've had. Get on in here.
Okay. So Tyrod is in the actual moment. We're just living it through the editing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I do want to kind of test this theory, and I just want to see, because David Coley has said some stuff that man, whoa, coach, what are you talking about there? What's up with that philosophy? A little bit strange. Let's get David Culley's questionable football philosophy, and let's just put some hype music underneath it and just see if maybe you're on to something. let's see if it makes more sense with David Culley, his bad philosophy with a little bit of hype music.
Well, first of all, we're going to have players that are smart, tough, selfish, and all about being a Texan. Offensively, we're going to be a team that's basically going to be very flexible. You may see something one week that you may not see the next week, but we're going to be flexible. We're going to be an offense that that you may not have seen last week, but it's flexible enough that people are going to have to defend us. You're going to have a defense that's going to be aggressive,
okay,
attacking,
okay,
that's going to do the right things, that's going to make people kind of lose their will,
okay,
if I may say.
Okay.
And then you're going to have a special teams that is going to be as good as any in this league.
All right.
But what you're going to have is you're going to have a football team that is going to be that's going to try to play every week winning football. In other words, what I'm saying there is this. Winning football means is we're going to be a football team that the most important thing about football is the football. So that being said, as a player, especially on offense, is not to give that football to somebody else.
Okay.
If we got to go three and out and punt it, we're good. We're going to be on the defense is now that's going to be the complete opposite. And special teams wise, when they go out on the football field, you'll see guys that are playing offense and defense that are going to go down there, and you're going to think right here that those guys think that they're the most important people on the field.
Okay.
And you know what? When they're out there,
they will
are.
Be. Yes.
That being said,
yes,
what you're going to see is you're going to see a football team covering each other's butt.
Okay. Yeah. One, two, three.
Yes.
Dude, you might be onto something. David Culley might just need hype music every time he speaks. But I really want to test this theory, because it's one thing for a coach to sound motivational with the music underneath it. But I want to play probably the dumbest thing that has been said in this city, probably in the last, I'd say half decade, maybe even further back. But I'll say in the last half decade, and I say a lot of dumb things, 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 610. But the dumbest thing that has ever been said was when Tom Savage's agent came out and called out Bill O'Brien for benching Tom Savage after the first half. I want to see if a little hype music could make Tom Savage's agent even sound like he knows what he's talking about. So we're putting this theory to test. David Culley, you might be onto something. The hype music does him a lot of favors. Maybe Tyrod Taylor is getting an unfair shake. Although on the text line, one loophole says Davis Mills is starting week one after that Tyrod Taylor break. Here is Tom Savage's agents with some hype music.
You just benched him. It just doesn't make sense. It's just frustrating. It just doesn't make sense. Tom earned the right to be the starter. It wasn't given to him. He's earned that right. He's not entitled to it. He's earned it. The personnel department or Rick Smith and the GM and personnel area has to address it. But Deshaun didn't have any more success than Tom. Deshaun basically threw almost two pick sixes. I'm still trying to figure this out.
Might have a point. He might have a point. This hype
you
music
sound
does
good.
Help.
Nah,
you
sound good.
He might have
listen,
a point.
Listen.
He might have a point.
There were times when David Culley was talking during the hype music where it made it – I was like, okay, Culley, I see you doing your thing. And there's other times he was just rambling, and the music couldn't save him. This speech was definitely more concise, to the point, and he hit his talking points, talking about – and that was early on in the Culley regime and his tenure as a head coach. I don't think he necessarily figured out exactly what this team was going to be. He's learning as he goes.
Okay.
And when he started talking about trust and the things that we worked on and you've come from all over the place, those were legitimate things that when you got a bunch of new guys coming into the building and you're trying to build something, you can focus in on and get guys to buy into. And that music just accentuated to another level.
Okay.
So it's a combination of factors, but I don't care what you say. If you put hype music underneath some good words, you're going to knock it out of the park.
Tom earned the right to be the starter. It wasn't given to him. He's earned that right.
What do you think about the him talking about trust? And he said, trust the process.
Trust the process.
Why should I trust the process? Why should anyone trust this Texans process?
Are you talking about fans or are you talking about players?
Anybody.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking not players, because there's a lot of players on one-year deals. It kind of speaks for itself.
Right.
That are trying to earn that second contract. So why should any – let's say someone that is hesitant to pay their money to the organization. Let's talk about the season ticket holders who have moved up thousands of spots and they've decided against buying Houston Texans season tickets. Cal McNair said – the fans got to trust us, trust the process. Why should anyone trust this process?
I can't expect anybody to trust the process based off of things that have happened over the past couple of years. But what I would say is to just stay tuned. Keep paying attention, holding them accountable from what you see. Because if you're all the way out and then all of a sudden, 2 years from now, the Texans are a good football team, then what? Are you going to still stay out just to prove a point, or are you going to jump back on the bandwagon because they got good? Like it's legitimate for you to watch them with a discerning eye and to see the decisions that are being made and seeing the results and the progression of the various people that are within the building that you actually have some tangible proof of. And if you see good things, then recognize that. You see bad things, recognize that. But I'm not going to tell somebody you should trust the process, because you're on the outside. You're not in the building. The people in the building, they got to buy in. Because if they don't buy in, you don't have a chance. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the process. I don't care what the philosophy is. If the people inside the building don't believe that philosophy, you don't have a chance. You might as well go home. That would be a reason why Whitney Merciless would be like, yeah, I'm up out of here, because the people in the building don't believe. That's probably a big reason why they had to get a lot of people out of the building, get a lot of people, new faces in the building, because the process, the philosophy and the process that was going on, people didn't believe it anymore. Now you got a lot of new faces in there, a lot of people that are trying to figure out their career. They have goals they're trying to achieve, and they're trying to be productive football players. They know the only chance they have of that is buying into the philosophy that the Texans are putting out there right now. And from what I'm hearing from the coaching staff, some of the philosophical things that they're saying make a lot of sense to me. So that, I think it'll make a lot of sense to the players as well. So now you're giving yourself a chance. It doesn't mean you're going to win a game this year, but you're giving yourself a chance to win a game. Because if you don't believe, if the people in the building don't believe, you don't have a chance. So that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, but I mean, believing doesn't assure much of anything. You could be putting the wrong guys in place. You could be bringing in the wrong players, right? I mean, it's...
And that's why you watch it with a discerning eye. You see the guys that you bring in the building and you say to yourself, oh, this dude can't play. That was a bad move to bring him in there. And he's starting now and he can't play.
When Coley telling players to buy in, that speaks for itself. But when I hear Cal McNair after hiring Nick Caserio say, our fans got to trust us, my question would be why? Based on what? Like what exactly are they supposed to trust?
And he'd have to answer that question, because I can't answer that question.
There's no way he could. There's no way he could.
He could say
it can change.
Nick Caserio was the guy that we wanted all along years ago. Okay. That could be an explanation.
But he's
that
also
is reasonable and logical.
He can get better, but I don't think it's too dramatic to say, since rest in peace, pour one out for Bob McNair, passed away and Cal McNair took over, it's been a disaster. He's been a very, very bad owner at this point. That's not to say that he can't turn it around. There's a lot of hell. Bill Belichick was a disaster in Cleveland, many would say.
He wasn't a disaster.
Playoffs. I mean, he wasn't successful. Ran out Bernie Kosar. But I'm not trying to digress on that. But there are a lot of coaches who are owners or whatever, players who start out bad and get better.
Yeah.
But Cal McNair has been nothing short of a disaster. That if you look at where the organization is now compared to where it was whenever he was put in place to take over, if he is really trying to do what he's told us many times he's trying to do, which is bring a championship to Houston, he has to be able to look in the mirror. He doesn't have to tell me this, but he has to realize he's been bad at this. He's been very bad at this.
He put someone or a couple people in a position of power to make decisions that have set the franchise back for a while. We don't know how long that a while is going to be, but it's going to be for a while. So based off of that alone, that's a bad mark on your ledger. At the same time, he wasn't making those individual decisions. It was the person he put in place. So you're going to judge it based off of what the person is put in that place to make those decisions based off of what they do. Now it's Nick Caserio. So if Nick Caserio flames out, then you can continue to say you put people in a decision, put a person in the position to make the decisions for the franchise, and they didn't work out. So that makes you bad at choosing the people to run the business. And as an owner, that is the key part of being an owner, putting the right people in positions to succeed, to go out there and make the decisions so that your business can be effective and produce wins, produce revenue to produce. And so that's what he's ultimately going to be judged off of. The decision to make Bill O'Brien the GM after they missed out on Nick Caserio was a bad decision. And now we're dealing with the consequences of that. But to think, I know you mentioned earlier, that would he be surprised that people didn't want season tickets? No, he knows he messed that up. At the same time, he messed it up, but he also fired Bill O'Brien. He's not holding on to that bad decision for a long time. That's something that, hey, once you make a bad choice, you held on to it. All right, it's not working. Move on and try something else. And all you can do is just sit back and hope that the person that he's put in that role now is going to do things the right way. And Nick Caserio, his background and what I've seen so far says he has a plan. Was his plan work? Time will tell. But he has a plan. And he has a rhyme and a reason. And it ain't a lot of emotion and ego and all those extracurricular things that'll get you killed in whatever business that you're part of. He's not showing those type of traits. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and let him see what he does. I'm going to evaluate him based off of what the guys he brings in the building produce or don't produce. And then you go from there.
The good choices of James Click. They come in many different shapes and sizes. We'll get into those. Plus a decision when it comes to college football that I think Smitty and I disagree on next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez on Sports Radio 610. James Click, man. You know, you talk about earning trust and you talk about trusting the process. Obviously, James Click inherited a better situation than Nick Caserio has inherited. And I do think he's inherited this situation. He inherited this culture. He inherited a disgruntled Deshaun Watson. But if you just look at every possible form of transaction that can be made, James Click has done a good job. And let's just start with making the difficult decision of allowing George Springer to go to Toronto, one of the best players in the history of this franchise, the 2017 World Series MVP. At some point when baseball players get in their 30s, a lot of times those contracts, those big contracts, they don't look good on the back end. And you got to take in durability. You got to take in finances. It was a financial baseball business decision that I think was the right decision. I think everyone understood it. Everyone that I think has a decent grasp of it understood the decision to let Springer go. And if you look at how Springer has really held up in Toronto this year, he's only played four games. So that difficult decision, while not popular, while a lot of people would have liked to have had George here, I think it ended up being a good decision foresight. And I think if we want to use hindsight up to this point, it looks like maybe George Springer's kind of he's having a rough time staying on the field this year, I'll say.
I would put an incomplete on this judgment on whether Click made the right decision with Springer or not based off of do they re-sign Carlos Correa? Because if you lose both of those guys and you don't get anything from them in the process, I think now you look at the Springer decision and say, well, if you were going to lose Correa anyway, you should have held on to Springer. Because now you're going to have to go out and get some other guy. And who is the other guy? I don't know who that is. They're not homegrown guys. They're not guys that are Astros that helped you win a World Series and still have the ability to be productive. Like, I know that Springer on his own has not played but four games this year because he's been injured. But there's no way for you to have a legitimate prognostication that was going to happen, that particular thing was going to happen this year. In all likelihood in your mind, you thought to yourself, we're willing to move on from Springer, even though we know he's still going to be a productive player for the next few years. We still just think it's in the best interest to move forward because we want to do these other things. Namely, one of those is signing Carlos Correa. If he leaves and the way things are looking, the chances of him leaving keep going up each and every day. Every day that he plays at a high level, continuing with that gold glove in the field and then what he's doing at the plate, the price just goes up on a brick. We talk about that all the time. We talked about it before when they put the offer out there for Correa. I think it was like 110
million, something like that.
It was a number that I was like, really? Like, nah, y'all play too much. Like, he probably looked at that offer as disrespect. And it's crazy just talking about $120 million is disrespectful. But when you look at the market, that those numbers was nowhere near what it was going to get to keep him here. So as the days go on, the chances of him leaving go up. And if you walk out of this situation where you have no Springer and no Correa going forward and you're trying to replace them with guys, to me, at that point, the Springer moves becomes a bad move.
I trust Jim Crane to make the right decision. I don't think he's going to be cheap. I think James Click might have a different baseball mentality. But I think the Springer one to me was the right one. I said that then,
yeah,
and I'm saying it now. So this isn't like hindsight. I think it was the right one. And that would be regardless of what Springer was really doing. That's just kind of some icing. The Gurriel extension. Last year was a unique year in baseball, but at the end of the year, Yuli looked lost. He was the clear weak link in the lineup. A one-year extension and then an $8 million team option. Not only is Yuli looking like the rumors of his demise were very much exaggerated, he's better than he's ever been at this point in his career. Probably will be an all-star, lost the 15 pounds. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. You look like a genius when you make these low-level moves like this. This was something that Jeff Luhnow did very well, these low-level moves that are just – they're not necessarily going to be at the front on the front page of the Chronicle or anything. But this Gurriel decision, man, I mean, this is what makes you look like a genius when you make decisions like this. And then next year, the thought of if Gurriel's coming off this year – playing for $8 million, that's a steal.
Yeah, he's a steal. You got to look at it like this. Gurriel, you're having control over him at a very reasonable price, and he'd start for 90% of the teams in the league. Like, if you got a guy that's that good and that productive, and you have him at numbers, most guys that have the production he has are getting paid, you know, $20 million, $20-plus million a year. And you got him for, I don't know what he's getting this year, but he's getting $8 million. In the future, that to me, that's great job by James Click, seeing that maybe it was the COVID-15 that kept him
19. Looking,
huh? No, the COVID-15, like the freshman 15.
Ah,
did it.
Come
on now.
Okay.
We talk about Whitney Merciless and being out of shape. It's
okay.
COVID-15.
Okay. There you go. I missed that one.
I like how Figgy has your back there, because that was actually legitimately a
good
little thing.
It's a good joke.
It wasn't a joke.
I kind of stepped on the joke.
Yeah, you know. But he had your back. He's like, because you were lost. I looked at you. He's like, COVID-19. Now, I know it's COVID-19. But back to what I was saying, he had that COVID-15, a.k.a. freshman 15. He had that weight on during COVID, and he didn't play at the level you would have thought. But that was an anomaly. It was a one-off, and they stuck with him and got him under a reasonable deal. And I think that probably helped him get the extension at the price he did, because he didn't play so well last year. And so he wasn't going to command that type of money elsewhere. And so it worked out for both sides.
Michael Brantley almost was in Toronto with George Springer. This one would have hurt. This one would have really hurt. And if you look at what Brantley has done this year, he's obvious, he got nicked up a little bit. But when he's been in the lineup, he's been hitting. And Michael effing Brantley doing his thing. Jim Crane willing to write the check. James Click thinking this was a good move from a baseball perspective. That's another one right there that I don't know where this squad would be, but that was a very, very solid decision.
To me, that was the best move he made, because he was out the door. He was gone. It was being announced that, you know, him and Springer both were going to be in Toronto, and then all of a sudden, at the 12th hour, you figure out a way to get him back in the fold, and now he's an Astro, and he's playing at a ridiculously high level. And he missed a little time for injury, but he comes right back, and he's right in the swing of things. And so he's another guy that's a key member of the lineup, and he's Michael effing Brantley. What more can you say? There's not a lot to evaluate, that the dude is just as consistent at the plate as you can get. Like, you know, I wasn't talking with you about it. I was talking with Lopez about it. He was talking about trying to eliminate the shift out of baseball because – there's too many hitters that were hitting into the shift, and it makes the game boring because all they were doing hitting home runs. All they do is hit home runs and hit and strike out. And I'm like, why are you going to reward bad behavior? Listen, Michael Brantley, you're not shifting Michael Brantley because he hit the ball all over the yard.
Jordan's beat the shift a couple times too. The good hitters find a way to beat the shift.
Exactly. So let's not legislate it out of the game. Let's force players or have players be well-rounded guys at the plate. And Michael Brantley is one of the most patient, well-rounded batters in baseball right now, and it shows up night in and night out. And he had another great performance last night, or yesterday. Was it night or yesterday? I can't remember.
Yesterday and the other night.
He
did everything.
Michael effing Brantley. Great move by Click.
Another one under the radar, Martin Maldonado, the extension when he was hitting worse than any catcher in the league. Maybe that mentally boosted Martin Maldonado. Who knows? Can't really measure that. But one thing we can agree on, James Click doing some very, very good things. So far, so good. The trust issues are not there with James Click. Nick Caserio, Rafael Stone, to be determined. Speaking of Nick Caserio, he was on Sports Radio 610 exclusively this morning at 7:30. Had some interesting things to say. We'll hear from Caserio next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Nick Caserio was on with the morning guys earlier, exclusively on Sports Radio 610. This is what he had to say, Wade Smith in for John Lopez, about OTAs and what he feels his team accomplished a few weeks away from training camp.
Look, the big thing that we were trying to get done is put a foundation in place. Obviously, a lot of new players, familiarize themselves and ourselves with each other, and quite frankly, just try to keep everybody as healthy as possible. We were able to accomplish those things. Still a lot of work left to be done, things to be determined in training camp. But again, we were able to make some progress here in the spring, and hopefully we're moving in the right direction, which that was the most important thing.
That's pretty much what you want to accomplish from OTAs, but minicamp is obviously the next part of the process. It was canceled. It led to a lot of discussion about why, how, when, where should it have happened. What was your basic response to the Texans canceling OTAs? We'll hear Nick Caserio talk about what went into that decision when Seth asked him. What was your reaction to that?
I didn't think much of it at all, honestly. Like, there was an uproar and there was a back and forth on this station and back and forth of, you know, fans kind of trying to figure out what's what and, you know, having their takes on it. And that's understandable that you have your take, but to me, it was very normal. Like, that is a common occurrence in the NFL that you do not participate in every one of your OTAs and minicamps. I can't remember the last time when I played that I did, and it's gotten probably gotten more lax since I've been playing. So to me, that's a common occurrence, and you know, they discussed it with the leaders of the team, the veterans on the team. There's a lot of veterans on this team, and there's a lot of veterans on this team that weren't with this team in the past, and you know, you got the collective bargaining agreement, and you have the NFLPA trying to encourage guys not to participate in voluntary OTAs. Like, if players wanted to be really jerks about it, they could just never show up to OTAs because they're voluntary activities. But guys know that they need OTAs because it's a part of the process, and you need to get those reps in and build, especially when you're in a new situation and there's a lot of guys in a new situation. So, you know, part of a little compromise is like, hey, you know, we'll show up to all of these OTAs, but we don't do minicamp. Now, there was sentiment that it had to do with Deshaun Watson and all that type of stuff. I think that was just more of a killing three birds with one stone type of deal. But at the end of the day, what happened last season does not matter to what's going on this season with these group of guys and this coaching staff, because this coaching staff, everybody that has remained on this coaching staff is just grateful that they still are here in Houston, Texas. And so they're not going to be approaching anything to go contrary to what the new regime and the new coaching staff wants to do going forward. And the new guy that's making the decisions, which is Nick Caserio, they're going to fall in line. And so, you know, if Nick Caserio really wanted the minicamp to happen, then it would have happened. But he didn't. He didn't think it was as important as what some people are making it out to be. And so it didn't happen. You got to understand, you have to be on the same page with your players. It's important for you to be on one accord and to buy in. And part of the buy-in is, hey, come in for these voluntary activities, and this is the carrot at the end of the rainbow. This is the carrot at the end of the stick. And so that's what you saw. It's not uncommon at all.
Here is Nick Caserio, asked by Seth Payne earlier this morning, exclusively on Sports Radio 610, about the decision to cancel minicamp. This is what the GM of the Houston Texans had to say in response to the following question from Seth.
Could you kind of take us through what it was like at the time you guys made that decision to dangle that carrot because of the whole situation with the players' union?
So when you go back to, call it, beginning of April, end of March, none of us really even knew what the work rules were going to be. So under the old rules, typically, you know, you're able to start your off-season program a certain date and time. So everybody was kind of waiting to see exactly when that was going to take place. So once we were able to get a more clarity, you know, we got together as a staff. I would say those discussions between David and the players were good, very organic, and just trying to listen and be cognizant of the environment and everything that was going on. Obviously, the players, I would say league-wide, I'd say generally speaking, it's not necessarily any specific to the Texans, but generally speaking, the players had voiced some concerns about what was going to take place in the spring. And, you know, so again, we try to take all the information process and just make a good decision that we felt was something that's workable for everybody involved. And in the end, you know, we did what we felt made the most sense for our team. Staff felt comfortable with it, and I think the players felt comfortable with it. So I think it was a, you know, a good example of people working together for a common cause and trying to get to a good endpoint and something that everybody felt made sense for everybody involved.
There you go. Translation, the players' union had this. We all got together. We decided that this is what was going to happen, and that's why we did it.
Right. If the players voice some concerns about a situation, and we're not going to alienate the players just because we got to get these extra 3 days in so we can get, you know, Davis Mills ready to play, stuff like that is not going to come into play. They're going to be smart about it. They're going to understand that we got to get on the same page. And so you talk with your veteran players, you talk with the leadership of the franchise, and you say, hey, this is what we're going to do. You know, if you guys do this, then we'll, you know, allow that. And they went forward. And I don't think it was, to me, probably when the decision was made, it was just like, all right, cool. All right, bet, move forward. And didn't think nothing else about it. And when it gets announced, then people are like, whoa, what the hell? The Texans, you mean the Texans of all team are not doing their mini camps and all these other teams are? Well, I would just say,
what's the cost of that? Because like let's say that Nick Caserio and them decided, all right, we're 4-12 last year, we're gonna go out there, we're gonna practice, we got to get better, we got to bit by bit, all that type of stuff, and they decided to be hardos. Is there long term cost to that? Like, do other players that could potentially come to Houston, is there any ramifications, or could they have just decided, hey, we're gonna have this, let's go?
It's not necessarily that. It's the guys that, if there was a mandatory minicamp and they took a hardline stance there, and the union is supporting the players to say, don't go to organized activity, voluntary activities right now, with the backing of the Players Association, you're going to have players say, I'm not going to show up. I'll show up when I have to. Instead of them, like, if you're going to draw a line in the sand, then they're going to, if the team is going to draw a line in the sand, then the players, some players, not all the players, but there'll be players that'll draw a line in the sand. And for what reason? Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, is it the risk reward of the situation? Do you want the team to be all on the same page and to buy in and to show that, and not alienate your players? Do you want to show that this is not the way things were, or we're going to do things? Like, to me, it's like you're in a pissing contest if you're trying to do that. It doesn't make any sense for you to approach it from that way. And I'm sure there would be a lot of veterans that would feel that way as well, especially when there was no rules in place for how the offseason was going to go at the time that these discussions were going on. And I don't think it was a negotiation. It was like, hey, it was probably something very simple like, hey, we need you guys in the building as much as possible. We need as many as you guys here as much as you can. How about if you guys come and we get a certain amount of attendance amount, then we won't do mandatory minicamp. And the veterans are probably like, yeah, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. We can get with the guys and we'll go ahead and do it and move forward. And they don't think about it anymore. I think it's, in a lot of regards, it's much ado about nothing.
Davis Mills has been a popular talking point this offseason. Obviously, there's only so much you can learn about young players at this point. You haven't seen them in pads. They don't have a full grasp of the playbook. They don't really know what you're about. Here's Nick Caserio with Seth and Sean earlier this morning, Texans GM, talking about how you can tell how far along a guy like a Davis Mills is at this point in the process.
I'd say most young players, it's quite frankly hard to assimilate their progress and where exactly they are. I think what you're trying to do is give the players information, see who can absorb the information, and the application comes on the field in that environment. So in a case of a quarterback, a lot of that is taking the play call, being able to get in the huddle, call the play, doing it with some force, doing it with conviction, because people in the huddle are looking at you like, okay, do you know what you're talking about? And quite frankly, players in other positions as well. So because really it's about trust and it's about establishing communication. And when you're in a huddle with 11 players, you know this, you want to make sure everybody knows what the hell they're doing. So how do you do that? So you try to simulate as much as possible. But the other thing that comes into play as well, and when you're not involved, when you're not actually taking the rep, you can still take the mental rep. So you can simulate, what's the call? What would I do in that situation? What's the communication? Okay, what's this look? Okay, this looks like one thing. How do I make the adjustment? You can go through your own individual process. And I'd say some players are proactive in that respect. Other players, you got to kind of have to teach that. So we'll have a better idea when we get into, I would say, more 11-on-11 and, quite frankly, more game situations, but that'll happen in the preseason. But during this kind of, you know, dead period league-wide, you still have to do things to make sure that you're prepared for training camp. So there's a mental component as well as a physical component. The most important thing is making sure that you're going to be in condition and be in shape, that you're actually able to practice.
So come in shape and mentally, I think it works. I don't want to minimize you offensive linemen and other positions, but from a quarterback perspective, the amount of work that you can do, I think it is very valuable the next 5 weeks when you're away, especially if you're trying to pick up a playbook and all that. You have to know where everybody's going to be. I'm not saying that offensive linemen don't as well, but quarterbacks got to, I think the next 5 weeks mini camp or not, when it comes to a quarterback, regardless of what we think he is or isn't going to do, this is a valuable time for a guy like a Davis Mills, right?
No question about it. Listen, he has opportunities to do reps, live reps, with whether it's people that are, he gets a couple of guys together and they throw. He can do reps on his own where he's getting the play and he's going out there and he is mimicking, or he's actually running through how to make the calls, using his imagination, seeing certain fronts drop down and how he would communicate those, how he would adjust those things. Those things you can practice on your own and get those reps to get better. Because like Nick Caserio said, when the quarterback steps in the huddle, if he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, he has no chance. Everybody will know that and everybody will recognize that. And so if the guys don't believe in you, if you're a quarterback and your guys around you don't believe in you, y'all don't have a chance. You know, you can pray to the stars and hope and wish and live by that creed, but you're not going to be very successful. You have to have such a command of the offense, the cadence, knowing what you're supposed to do personally, know what the guys around you are supposed to do. When their alignments are a couple of yards off, you need to be a little wider. Hey, you need to move in. You need to back up. Hey, the various calls that need to be made, you have to know that. And there's so much to it. And so that's why I look at people sideways when they have these high expectations for a rookie quarterback that's a third-round pick that's not getting all of the starter reps to all of a sudden, you know, just get it. And be able to do it, and for guys in the huddle to believe in this guy. And when you get in the huddle, you're a quarterback, and guys don't necessarily believe in you, you can feel that. It's palpable. And so if that's the case, you could risk losing the huddle, per se, or losing the locker room. And so you don't want to put a guy in a position before he's ready.
Wade Smith, Landry Locker here on Sports Radio 610. If I'm Davis Mills, and tell me if this is a good way of thinking or not, because we've disagreed on me trying to put myself in a football player's shoes. We've disagreed a couple of times. But if I'm Davis Mills at this point,
yeah,
trying to get as tight as I can with Collins and Jordan, because those are going to be the guys that, as my career goes on, they're the ones that are going to be here.
Do you want to start now or do you want to start in the future?
I think it could work both ways, but those are the guys that I'm getting good with. Hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, what's up? Let's hit up El Tiempo. He said he likes El Tiempo.
I think that's a natural thing. Guys in a rookie class, you guys have a set of parameters and circumstances that is unlike anybody else on the team. You're a rookie. And so you have the same set of issues and things that you have to do that other people on the team don't have to do. And so the rookies being close to each other, that's common. That is just to be expected. Especially for quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have to be able to have a relationship or be able to connect with everybody on the offense. And then if you're really a big-time quarterback, a franchise-type guy, everybody on the team, you have to be able to do that. And so you have to lay a foundation. You start from somewhere. So getting ingratiated with all the rookies in the rookie class, that's a smart play. That's a way to go about doing it. Now, a lot of times, if you're a quarterback that's like Kyler Murray, somebody that is going to come in and start from day one, he's gonna get ingratiated with the big time players on the team.
Well, they want to ingratiate to you when you're Kyler Murray. They're coming to you, right? Like they're coming. Like they want to know you, like, right? Like when you're that guy, like Trevor Lawrence, they're already going to him. Well, Davis Mills right now in the situation he's in, I feel like I got to buddy up with them.
I think, well, yes, but also, like, Trevor Lawrence is different than Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray went to a place where Larry Fitzgerald is the man.
Yeah.
So Larry Fitzgerald's not, I'm trying to get cool with Kyler.
You know how Larry is.
Throw me the ball, Kyler. No, it doesn't work that way. Like, it's Larry Fitzgerald.
By the way, is he retiring or not?
Probably not. Like, I don't think he's going to ever retire.
What's going on there?
When you retire from radio, that's when he's going to retire from football.
Right, he's got about a good 25 years.
A long time. Like, he could have retired 5 years ago and it would have been a great career. He's still going. So
but back to the Murray thing. I didn't mean to throw you off there.
Are you good? But Kyler Murray, he's going to ingratiate himself with the big time people on the team, the guys that he's going to be throwing to week in and week out. that's just how he's going to approach it. Davis Mills, I mean, unless he – Davis Mills could walk around and feel like, I'm the man. I'm going to start here. He could be that guy. And that's the case.
I don't feel that from him. Do you?
I mean, I haven't. I've never talked to him.
I mean, I've heard him a couple times. I just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's going to put his head down and go to work and just try to be best teammate he can be.
Lunch pail guy.
That's him. He's a third round draft pick. That's a rookie. That's there to be seen and not heard. He's only supposed to be heard when he's in the huddle calling the plays. He's a rookie.
Okay.
And he's not the anointed one. People might try to anoint him, but that would be foolish. I think you should let him get time to develop and become the guy that he potentially could be. But he's not Trevor Lawrence. He's not Andrew Luck. He's not any of these guys that came into their franchises and people said, this is our guy for the next 10, 15 years.
The other thing about Davis
and
Mills.
With reason.
And you've mentioned this a couple times, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, and for John Lopez, is, first of all, I think you bring up an excellent point that the fact that he is the first draft pick that Caserio made is kind of making people treat him as if he was like the top five overall pick.
Right.
And he's Zach Wilson or he's Trevor Lawrence. So there's these expectations. So I think that kind of creates an interesting narrative. But the other thing is the limited draft assets that the Texans have in the situation they're in. Some people will say, well, that just increases the pressure for Nick Caserio to have to figure out about Davis Mills now. I kind of look at it the other way, where if you are in a process and you are trying to build something, to me it's almost like being more so willing to take on a project where there isn't necessarily a hurry or urgency to make it happen. Like, I think it's the complete opposite. Because to me, that's like – I think it's kind of like a strange, and I'm not saying it's unnatural, but it just seems like an ass backwards way of thinking of saying this situation stinks. So this guy in the third round has to come save the day. But really, I think you have more time to develop a guy because you're not trying to win now. You're not trying to win this year. And I think it's actually the opposite, where there might even be more patience with Davis Mills, more so than just throwing him out there.
So probably 95% of that take I agreed with. Like, I think that everything you said up until the point where you say you're not trying to win, and you're not trying.
Okay.
They're going to try to win.
It's not realistic to win.
It's not realistic.
Immediately.
This is the thing. Trust the process and understanding what's going on over there. If they struggle this year mightily, it's not going to be held against them by the people that make the ultimate decision, the McNairs. There's not going to be a situation where you're saying, all right, I got to get this Davis Mills pick to work out or I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
That's not the case at all. They're going to allow him to do his job.
Right.
So why would you rush a guy in when you don't have to rush?
Yeah.
It's
a process. Processes take time. This isn't like a win right now. This is a process. You've heard Coley say it.
Yes. Listen, Bill O'Brien made the moves he made because he knew we need to win.
Yeah.
Or else.
Yes.
That's why he made the decision, because his job was on the line.
Right.
You don't make those type of decisions if you know I still got 6-7 years left. I'm going to take my time and build this thing and do it the right way. So, no, I don't understand that mentality. If that is the truth of the matter, if that is what people really feel that is the reason why Nick Caserio should play him is because it's his first pick and he has to figure out what he's going to do going forward, then – you got the wrong guy in that position.
12:45. It is time to win you a grand. Figgy in there taking selfies or something like that. Text the code word POST, POST, to 72881. That's POST to 72881. We're going to put a grand in your hand. Congrats to Gerald from Houston. Won $1,000. On Friday, you have until 1 o'clock to text POST, P-O-S-T, to 72881. Nationwide entrance, have until the top of the hour to text POST to 72881. Message and data rates apply. We're putting a grand in your hand, powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. That's BetQL. Let's go around the NFL. Albert Breer had some interesting things to say about the Houston Texans. And is it necessarily in the best interest of the Texans to put the best 53 men on the roster? Nick Caserio had an interesting quote, had the internet going nuts. We'll react to that when we go around the league next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.